All right, clubs going up on a Tuesday. Last week, we did some hoops. Today, we are going to get into those NFL streets draft, a big board draft with Andy and Clay. And of course, naturally, this is the club. We got crypto pumping again, so we'll hit on that at the top as well. Let's go. All right, Andy, Clay, I'm Pete. This is the club. How are you guys doing?
I'm good. It's funny, well. You know, with the crypto pumping, it's actually a pretty red day for crypto.
I know. You know how I know
it's 7-day average.
It hasn't done so bad.
Yeah, the 7-day. This is how I know I jinxed it, because if you want to know like the ultimate mush indicator, it's when I put the little widgets on my phone again for like tracking it, because I basically, you go through the stages, right? Like my stages are completely ignore it, you know, watch pot doesn't boil. Then I start doing just like on my phone, Google BTC price, Google ETH price. And then when I'm doing that too much, I say, God damn it, I'll just put the widget back on my phone so I don't keep doing that. The widget is back on my phone and now there's all red candles. So I did that.
The real alpha is set tweet notifications for Andy. And that's how you follow the market.
That's a dangerous game. My tweets are pretty chaotic. I don't know if I trust those.
Have you been doing any trading, Andy, or just watching number go up?
Yeah, a little bit actually. I was like decently early on some of the meme coin stuff. Not like turn $100 into $1 million early, but like before this most recent kind of big pump of Shiba and Whiff and all of that, I was pretty early there, mostly just kind of got lucky. But for the most part, kind of my general bags is just like Ethereum and Solana, and then AI and meme coins, kind of like both ends of the barbell, like AI coins and meme coins, the smart and the dumb memes.
Do you have 0% BTC allocation?
Right now, yes, I do.
And that, but that's always been kind of standard for you, or you've had very small amounts.
Yeah, just, you know, back and forth. I think like for me, it's not like I don't like Bitcoin thing really. It's just, I like things that like are a little bit higher risk, higher reward than Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And like, I think if I was in a place where I was, you know, like just straight up retired and wasn't really paying as much attention to it or anything, I would probably own a lot more Bitcoin than I do right now. But since I'm like spending so much time thinking about this stuff and paying attention to it, it feels to me like that is, it's more of like a passive thing, because I'm not like a, you know, high leverage trader trying to catch every Bitcoin move or anything.
Yeah. I like Andrew here clearly gets what this crossover show means. He says Shiba Inu ran like Xavier Worthy. That hit us squarely in our yeah. Venn diagram.
Yeah, there you go.
Is that so? I take it that's the coin, that's the meme coin that's going crazy right now.
A bunch, basically all of them did. Shiba went up like 4x over the course of like 2 days, added like $20 billion to its market cap in like 3 days or something. Dogecoin went up a little bit. Pepe went up a ton. Dog with hat is the new flavor of the month meme coin that over the last like month has ran from like $50 million to $1.5 billion. But yeah, there's just been a ton. It's been pretty chaotic.
What about you, Clay? Are you messing around or are you just hodling?
I'm chilling at the moment. I'm trying to take my second cycle a little bit more at ease, and taking some faith that I think there will be more cycles in the future, and just learn a little bit more this cycle rather than just slinging and flinging all over the place. So yeah, I would like to allocate a little bit more in as I can, but you know, startup life right now, and we're adjusting accordingly. So we'll make it, it work.
Yeah, it's Mookie says here for the top. Oh, what?
Yeah, MBL had a big top shopper.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
We should have got him back in the club. Yeah, I think he paid $30,000 for the LeBron serial, the block, the chase down block against the Warriors. Sounds like things are going well for him over on Floaty. He mentioned in that tweet lots of transaction volume over there. So good for MBL and the top shot guys. Yeah,
I'm literally trying to sign in my Top Shot account for the first time. I couldn't tell you the last time, and I got an error. So if we're going really good over here.
I will, as always, give the I just feel like these PSAs are helpful to me when I hear them about like remaining vigilant. I got what I thought was a real email from Dapper the other day. It was like, you know, they have their Disney product or whatever on Flow. And I thought it would be funny. I was like, oh, I'll just claim, you know, whatever free, you know, thing they're doing in my Dapper wallet. And I clicked through. I didn't get scammed because I stopped. But then it wasn't even having me sign into my Dapper wallet. It wanted me to go to MetaMask, and that's what I immediately do. it was a scam. But just a reminder, and like I have my email like pretty well manicured as far as what goes in spam, what goes in, you know, certain folders, and it like looked very real to me. So another crypto PSA. Say, be very, very careful what you click. I know Clay will co-sign on that as well.
Yeah, happy to talk any good learnings there. You will never get a call from anyone in crypto, including Coinbase. So
you could beg Coinbase to get on the phone and they wouldn't call you.
They will not. I can attest to that after trying to recover my account. So and don't answer the phone when you're out and about. Just don't answer the phone, which was what I was doing, except for the one time I didn't, and it all goes to hell. So.
I had no
hacks this cycle.
I had something like that brewing. I bought my new Pixel phone, and I'd gotten what felt like a very real call from the whatever the like Google headquarters, like Mountain Valley or whatever it's called there. And I was on the phone with him for like 5 minutes, and he was basically trying to prime me for that. And then I realized that he actually had no clue what he was asking for. He's like, oh, I want to help you set up your new phone and all this stuff. And I just bought a new phone. So I kind of thought it was real and some like Google service. So yeah, man, it is scary out there. And that's not even to mention like all the deep fake type stuff right now as well. All right. I just hopped us into a big board draft. Clay, did you miss this?
No, I did. Yeah. I'll draft my location fucked up again. So
it's okay. I
gotta restart my browser. Did it fill already?
It did. Yeah. Right, there cool. was just four okay. spots left. Andy got the 1-6. We got the influencer 101. You can ride sidecar with me though, Clay.
Sounds good. I'll co-pilot.
I had a nice 101 draft today. It's a fun spot to go from, I feel like. I liked it.
It is. Yeah, this is like my sixth or seventh draft. I have not received a 1-1 yet, so it'll be fun to get a CMC share. I assume you took CMC with your 101.
Yeah, I ended up getting a nice little stack there where I had CMC, got Ayuk. Yeah, hopefully he's still on the Niners. We'll see. And then Purdy later on.
Yeah, you really just correlated week 17 perfectly on Axe to Andy is what you did.
Yeah,
that's a run back.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
It's so funny how this is playing out, right? Where it's like, every single wide receiver is either getting the franchise tag or an extension, and every single running back is not getting the franchise tag and not getting re-signed to an extension.
That's pretty wild. I know. Man. You have a lean on where you think Saquon's going to end up, Pete?
I mean, the only rumor I saw was just, you know, that the Texans had some interest, but I don't know. I feel like they're handling things from a team building perspective in a pretty smart way. And they had so much success last year. Like, you know, in their head, they're like, hey, we're going to roll with Damian Pierce. And it's like, oh no, the guy we picked up in free agency, Devin Singletary on the cheap, was perfectly serviceable. They just don't strike me as the org that's going to feel the need to go out and make a big splash. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, I don't know if I have a good read. It's like, who's a dumb team that is willing to pay a lot of money for a back on the tail end of their career?
Yeah. I mean, ESPN has been attaching his name to the like Cowboys and Ravens. I don't know how much that's just like, you know, good ESPN storyline versus real. It wasn't like from an insider, you know, or anything. It was just like them kind of like reading the tea leaves on where it could be a fit perhaps and go be on a contender. So I don't know. I mean, like I would like to believe that, you know, Saquon's got a couple years left in the tank and kind of like, you know, his relative prime adjusted. But, you know, after we saw Gurley fall off at like 26, like you can't really bank on anything anymore.
I could definitely see the Cowboys. Was it that the most Jerry move of like, he's like, yeah, gosh darn, Tony Pollard, burn me. I need a real back in here again. Let's get Saquon on the line. I mean, I can
the just name value. the name value alone, he's like, that'd be a good fit on the Cowboys. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, Ravens would obviously be pretty spicy, but be interesting to see what they do, how they handle, you know, Dobbins coming off another injury, and if he can still revive his career and health.
Yeah, I feel like the Niners, or sorry, the Ravens are a pretty interesting team because they have so much injury uncertainty with Keaton Mitchell and J.K. Dobbins. Like, if those guys were fully healthy, they'd be like, let's roll. Like, we're good. But if Gus Edwards walks, and then they're going to want some kind of insurance piece with those two guys.
Yeah, I think so. Bring Melvin Gordon back for his 85th year.
Yeah. All right, Andy, you started Breece Hall and Josh Allen. I took Breece Hall from the 6th yesterday. Actually, this is a very similar draft to me, although I think I took Josh Allen in the 3rd. But happy to get lock up that elite QB there, Andy.
Yeah, you know, I don't take him super often, but it's like it's a bit of a gross spot when I look at it. It's like, I don't really want Jonathan Taylor. I think he's the lowest ADP wise, but like, am I really going to draft Rashee Rice? Like, I just have a hard time bringing myself to draft him there that early. And I do think that people have somewhat overcorrected against the like elite QB after how last year went. Like, I've been pretty happy to draft Hurts and Lamar as well. So we'll see. I feel like these drafts right now can get pretty tough at wide receiver if you don't start with one in the first two rounds. So I'll have to correct for that. But I don't know.
It's interesting right now too, and I'll be curious to see where the rookies go. And I was kind of talking through this on Best Ball Breakfast, where I actually was starting not to love my drafts when I had 4 to 5 wide receivers through 6 rounds, because I wanted to keep some in the holster for all the rookie wide receivers later. And it's like, if you're completely, you know, deployed at wide receiver that early, then you're forced into, you know, having one less position that you can draft. Clay, we're on the clock. I do have Pat's leg up rankings in here. Tank Dell, Diggs, Olave, Waddle. Anyone stand out to you?
Yeah, I mean, Tank for sure. And then I'm pretty open on the next pick. Do you have a lean? Like, this is fairly flat to me.
I agree. Fairly flat. I kind of feel like we saw almost like a worst case scenario for Chris Olave last year. Yeah. I don't mind going back.
Can you convince me they're not going to have Derek Carr at quarterback?
I can't fully convince you that.
Yeah, let's do it though. I agree. But I feel like that was kind of a floor outcome for him this last year, even with Dirty Derek on the team.
He was banged up for a little while. He had a couple of those games down the stretch where he was just the entire offense. Like, his target share was getting used all over the field. Very little competition for targets. So I don't know. I think he's still like a talent that, like, it would not shock me, I guess I would say, if Chris Olave was a first round pick in 2025.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like that. I was really hoping, you know, Rashee Rice would fall to us, because I do like, you know, his upside on a, as you know, stepping in that true number one role next year. But
I've been struggling with Rashee Rice's price, because to me, he feels a lot like a running back type selection before the NFL draft, right? Where it's like, if they don't add anyone, like, holy cow, he is going to pay off that cost. It's going to be wheels up. And if they add someone, he could be going 3 to 4 rounds later after the draft. So it is like a risk reward. I agree. Like, if they don't add, but it seems like they are. And then the question is that player good or not? It just seems like there's a little bit more volatility with him than some of these other second round picks.
Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree with that by any stretch, but I'm still, I mean, again, man, it's just like, do I really want to bet against the Chiefs in any capacity? And then, like, who's to say if they do add a receiver, like, does that hurt him so much? I mean, does that just make it where if Kelsey doesn't, you know, if he's on the decline, right, gets more interest from the defense, not just isolated on Rice? Like, I don't know. You can tell yourself a story where it's like, I think it's fair. I wouldn't draft him ahead of the, you know, the 2-3 turn there by any means. But at that point, I mean, I don't mind against the names that are going right after him. I think he's got just as much upside, if not more. I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr. in the, you know, mid-second, I know he's like quite the prospect, but that feels so rich to me coming into like one of my first drafts. So that was a little bit of sticker shock to see that him fly off the big board there.
Yeah, that's something that I've been thinking about a lot with these rookie wide receivers too, is just like the, you know, what situation they're going to be going into as well, where it's like some of these guys who are going a little bit later in the draft because they're, you know, theoretically going to go at the end of the first round, like they're the ones who are going to be going to the teams that have the actually good quarterbacks. And so that's something that like I've been finding myself getting significantly more interested in, like Brian Thomas, especially after how he did at the combine. But like, he's someone where there's a better chance that he ends up on a team that is really good. And it's like, let us add this really good player to a team that is really good. And like, you know, maybe the volume won't be quite as much as Marvin Harrison Jr., but it's something that I've been thinking about at least.
All right, Andy, I got a question for you. Through three rounds, Breece Hall, Josh Allen, Jalen Waddle. Eagle-eyed viewers might notice a bit of an AFC East theme there. Intentionally stacking up a single division or serendipitous accident?
It's worked out nicely. That's something that I am happy to do when it happens, but I'm not going to sacrifice too much of what I think is like good value for it. But I do like doing it just for the reason of, you know, odds are we will get, you know, there's a better chance of getting a week 17 correlation by doing it. And so I'll take it. Like for example, when it came down to Waddle, I was debating between him and Neighbors, and I decided to go Waddle for that potential correlation, but
I'm not gonna try to pull against the Patriots every week.
I mean,
reverse homerism.
That too.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I feel like that's the perfect way to utilize it, right? It's like the same with anything. Like if you're going out of your way to reach a round and a half for another AFC East guy, but when you have a clear similar tier there and you just want to break that tiebreaker, pretty nice way to do it.
Yeah. I like that strategy a lot this early into the year.
Look at, I mean, I know this has been like every draft, but I mean, the amount of yellow on these boards, we have three quarterbacks gone. We did have our first tight end go at pick 38 back end or early part of the fourth round. I feel like Laporta's actually fallen a little bit. I want to say some of my earlier drafts, he was going like almost like early to mid third in some of those, but maybe that was just an unusual room.
Yeah. I mean, how are you guys playing? How are you guys playing tight end? Like what's your early leans? Are you trying to like, you know, back stack a couple late? Are you going for more hero builds considering they're like, you know, the first one's getting taken in the third round now or fourth round now? What's your lean?
I think these tight ends are very appropriately priced. I think almost every one of my drafts, I've had at least one of the top six or seven guys on my team.
Yeah. I've been pretty happy. So I'll also tell you, I'm curious to see how it goes. I'm somewhat running an experiment with these. I am auto drafting a lot of teams. I'm doing well. So not totally, but I'm multi-tabling like five drafts at a time, and having it on auto draft and intentionally like queuing correlations and stuff. But some of my theory with this that I want to mess around with is, I think that we're just so early. It was especially before the draft. Like, I'm just going really heavy in rookies and kind of saying, like, you know, I can't correlate the rookies. I don't know. And kind of seeing what happens. I'll let you guys do your picks. You know,
Clay, you good with Rome?
Yeah, it's fine. I'm cool with that. I don't have too big of a lean on rookies. I think the question here is, do we want to go like Stroud and lock up a stack, or go to Trey McGronk? And go.
Those were literally the two options I was going with. I think I've in normal rooms, I kind of prefer to go to the tight end and just see what kind of quarterback value comes.
Cool. Let's do it.
I mean, McBride has been one of the guys I think is definitely so mispriced. But we're still talking about like around, like, I just think like Laporta, McBride, and Kelsey should all be going like right next to each other.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that at all. Yeah, my only thing, I still got to do some digging. Like I said, I'm just kind of getting into the NFL swing with the offseason, with like the combine being some of my first exposure, really diving into any rookies. So I don't have a huge lean. I kind of would just take them at ADP value, or if you, how you are looking at them. Yeah, maybe like, we'll get lucky and Stroud comes back.
Yeah. I mean, Rome, you know, I think he has really, he's got a lot of things going for him, right? Like his only red flag is he's he wasn't an early declare, right? He was at Washington for a little bit longer, but like all of the kind of concerns I feel have been like mitigated by so much stuff. Like he's a big play guy, like stepped up in all of their big games when it mattered. Now he's like the rave of the combine because of his work ethic out there, destroyed the gauntlet, just wanting to go out and beat his own time, last guy to leave the field, all of that stuff. And then like his production numbers are really, really good. Two, I think he's solidified top 10 draft capital. He'll probably avoid some of those like really bad landmine teams. Like he's not going to go to the Patriots, you know, and have no quarterback play. You know, he'll probably get a decent QB. And I think with that kind of draft capital and his being like almost pro ready, like he's ready to go out and run routes right now. It's not like I think he's going to have a sharp learning curve. Like where I think you could talk about Xavier Worthy and be like, okay, he's electric, but is there going to be a steeper learning curve to how a team uses him? Like, I think Rome just comes in and is like a team's wide receiver two right out the rip.
I mean, I think that's a fair read on my, you know, like I said, not so such a great understanding of the landscape, but I put up a mock and I hadn't seen him go Rome ranked as high as going fourth to the.
I saw a couple mocks today, not going fourth, I think, but I saw a couple mocks today of him going above Neighbors.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know that that was like that much of a conversation. I think actually Clay saying that now, I think I did see one where he went where they had him above Marvin Harrison.
Was it the Bugler, the Dane Brugler updated mock? I know he had Rome pretty high.
I don't remember. I just saw the 32 beat writers account when he quote tweets and posts all of them.
I don't even know who this guy is. I need to go to a better resource because I don't want to throw out some fugazi information, but this one has Marvin Harrison Jr. going third to the Patriots and then Rome going fourth to the Cardinals. It seems like a reaction to like all of the quarterback, you know, slosh going on right now because they have Caleb 1, Jaden 2, Harrison Jr. 3, Rome 4, Neighbors 5, and then Drake May 6th to the Giants.
It's gonna be such a fun opening night for that draft. I
feel like there's a lot of hype around it comparatively to last year's draft.
It's not as settled from, you know, people just kind of really thinking Caleb's going to go number one, which it seems like even that is a little, I don't know, you know, there's just so many dominoes to fall and the trades to move. And like, I think it's going to be a lot more interest this year. It's good for the NFL, man. People are talking about it because it's not just, oh, we know 1 through 5. And like the last 2 years, I feel like we've known at least the top 5 picks. And then it was just a matter of like a couple switch flops in the order. But like this year, it feels way more wide open. And like maybe get a big old surprise out here.
Well, and last year you were waiting for, you know, the seal to be broken at wide receiver. And it's like, take JSN, start the wide receiver run, start the wide receiver run. And this year, like the wide receiver run is coming early and it is not going to stop.
Yeah. Who are we looking at here, Pete? On the
Andy's like doing like a replica of my best ball breakfast team. I had the
dog. I know. I watched that draft.
Little inspo. See,
so this would have been the case for taking Stroud, right? Clay is like George Kittle's hanging around here. At pick 72. That's,
I mean, it's not I love Kittle, man, but like I would much rather have McBride.
Godwin goes, so that kind of really starts to push us.
It's a little disgusting.
It gets a little hairy here. We don't have a stack with Burrow or Prescott. I think we're probably grabbing a couple running backs. You know, I'm good with any of these, Ramondre, Montgomery, Warren, or Najee.
Let's go Ramondre. Hope he bounces back off the injury.
And honestly, like I've found like tight end to be pretty weak mid to late. Like if you want to just double up George Kittle, we already have the CMC. Sure. It opens up Purdy potentially, and then just be I'm done cool at tight end.
Yeah. Let's do it.
I don't hate that. I feel like I've definitely been more aggressive in tight end. Because going back to what we were talking about before, I have been taking one of the tight ends, kind of with Kittle being the last one. And I'm not even super upset if I'm like double tapping Ingram and Njoku or something like that, or guys in that range. And I'll even, you know, I hate it, but I'll still draft Kyle Pitts.
I need to get my first Kyle Pitts share.
I mean, this is the year, you know.
Dude, if they somehow land a pocket passer, I mean, his price is gonna shoot up again.
If they get Kirky, like it's wheels up. I mean, everyone's gonna think it's wheels up. I'm not gonna say it's actually wheels up, but like drafting wise, it's he will
where,
be.
Where do you guys think? Say they get Kirk Cousins. Where do you think? Like right before the season starts, assuming full health for the entire team, what is Kyle Pitts' ADP with Kirk Cousins?
Oh man, I mean, I would. Andy, you go first. I want to sound.
I'm trying to look so at dumb. What. I don't think it goes higher than the. I don't think it ends up higher than Brock Bowers. So what's he at right now? Like 70?
60. Yeah, that's probably.
He went six rounds. I was gonna say I would Brock. Probably draft him ahead of Kittle. I would probably take Pitts. I would have probably taken Pitts ahead of Kittle there, if he had Kirk. Like that's about the spot where I would be like, let's have a little good time. 50 or something. Right, we got 69. Yeah,
like, I mean, I saw 50. Some mocks of Brock going to like the Bengals, and like to me that. Like I could see his ADP really going up if he ends up on a good offense. Yeah. Like him with Joe Burrow throwing to him is different than a lot of other teams.
That and like I agree with that because people will, you know, the one question everyone's sold on Brock as a prospect. They know the draft capital is going to be there. So then it's like, does he have a good quarterback? Because everyone is going to see what happened last year with Laporta, all these rookie tight ends. They're going to say Brock is better than those guys. He's a better prospect. And you're going to give him a quarterback. And we're drafting Sam Laporta in the early fourth right now. Yeah, I'll take Brock Bowers in the fifth or sixth.
Yeah.
How did you? You guys see the Gronk photo though? I don't know.
Yeah, that was a tough photo.
But then his measurables at the combine came in like really good. I think it was just a bad photo, man.
Bad photo, yeah. We all have those.
Everyone has those times where you get a photo in the wrong lighting. It's been a long time since you ate a lot of carbs. Like you just
wasn't a flattering fit. Yeah. His feet look a little like, you know, turned in. It's just an awkward standing position.
It was
position.
Like a posture photo too. Like he was kind of hunched. He looked like he was very angle much like bad. Deferring to Gronk. There wasn't a lot of confidence to the posture.
Looked like a beta.
Look at so we got Shiro here out of the 11 hole. 1, 2, 3, 4 running backs here through 7. Only wide receivers, AJ Brown, Cooper Kupp, and then goes Justin Fields. That will be interesting to see how they recover there.
He's the hero we needed to help with the wide receiver avalanche.
Yeah. I can be talked into three quarterbacks, Pete, depending on how we net out with running back.
Yeah.
Now,
I have noticed you got to be a little aggressive with QBs. We see a bit of a run happening here.
We might need to tap a little bit, but we'll see what running backs we have left. There's one gentleman I wouldn't mind taking. We get him.
I think this is also, we're getting in prime range here. 8-9 turn. We went away from wide receiver for 3 picks.
Yeah,
Troy Franklin comes off the board. Brian Thomas off the board. I think we could be in rookie wide receiver range because coming back at 120, probably there's most nothing. Of the interesting names are going to be gone.
Yeah. And there's so many, I'm down to wait on quarterback because there's like, we could literally, I mean, God, we could take 4 stabs at the end if we really, really felt like it. Like I could get a little aggressive if we, because with tight ends shirt up, I don't, you know, not entertaining another tight end. We have an anchor running back, so we can kind of have some flexibility there. We didn't completely shy away from wide receivers, so I like our optionality here. Receiver wise, what are you thinking? Like, what are we? I mean, I love Downs. Like he played so well as a rookie that with Richardson coming back, they had a nice little rapport building. If he comes to us.
I was going to float Purdy is just getting our first quarterback. Yeah, but at this point,
I wouldn't.
No. I would say Downs and then one of the rookies, 80 or Worthy.
Yeah, I'd defer to you there.
I think Worthy's – I think people – and I'm even kind of surprised by Pat's rank. I'm going to talk about this with him. I think Xavier Worthy is going to be like a 7th-round pick very soon. At least after the NFL draft.
Once he learns that you can eat more than 3 meals a day, it's going to be huge for him. That's going to totally change things.
Wait, you can do that?
Hey, let's not shame people for not eating 3 square meals a day.
I eat 2 meals. So I was asking a question. That was a personal question.
I haven't heard this. Is he an intermittent faster?
No, I'm just kidding. Just
oh, he's so small.
Like, I just truly don't understand how you can be a professional athlete, 5'11" and 165 pounds. Like,
yeah,
my freshman year of college, I'm 5'11". My freshman year of college, I wasn't fat, wasn't muscular. I was like 170 pounds. Like, I just don't, yeah. I struggle to like comprehend it.
You saw DK Metcalf's diet, right? He talks about what he eats in a day. Coffee and Skittles until 6 p.m. One meal,
a man's diet.
A little steak in, he's done.
Yeah, I wonder if the metabolism will even come for DK Metcalf here soon enough. My thing about Xavier Worthy, and a lot of people like to point out, you can go look at all of the previous speedsters and how many of them failed. But like Xavier Worthy broke out, I believe it was his age 18 year. Like, he was an early breakout. He has the production to like back up the athleticism. And then he's not even just a one trick pony for speed, like crush the vert jump, crush the broad jump. I think he's going to go top 20 in the NFL draft is like his floor. Like, and I know some of the mocks haven't quite adjusted. I think this guy's going like top 15, you know, to top 20. Like, wow. I wouldn't be surprised to see a team like the Colts at 15, take him, something like that. Give some Anthony Richardson some more speed or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. I think he has cemented himself as like a mid to late mid first round pick.
If he does fall, I mean, again, the mock that I have, one of the mocks I have pulled up here has him fall into like the Bills pretty late in the first round. But like Andy pointed out, you know, if he falls, he's going to probably land in a better quarterback situation, theoretically, or hopefully. So I don't mind it. I mean, I think, like you said, that's a good, it's a compelling case for the upside. And, you know, I'm not taking Deontay Johnson, man. I might just straight up fade him completely this year.
Yeah. And if you, the thing I like to think about, right, with a lot of whenever you're drafting is like, who is going to get more expensive and who is going to stay flat or get cheaper? Like, what's going to make Deontay Johnson move? Like, okay, maybe the Steelers get like Kirk Cousins and you're like, you know, I'm just like throwing out a name of like a decent pocket passer or like he's going to get fed. Sure, maybe he moves up a little bit, but is anything moving the needle? Like, aren't we going to be able to get Deontay Johnson at this price whenever we want throughout the summer?
Wouldn't it just be if they trade him? Hasn't there been a little bit of trade talk?
But like, where is he getting traded to where he's going to shoot up the draft board too, right? Like, it's, I guess, like you said, a better quarterback situation, but I don't know. I can't
really think of that's the one tough thing with him is like, even the teams you think about of like, where are they going to trade him to? Like, they already kind of have the guy who does what he would do, where it's like the Chiefs or the Bills or the, I don't know, like, even like the Texans or something. Like, it's hard to put together a team where it's like, oh, our team is really good. We need another good wide receiver who's like a slot guy to catch a bunch of short passes.
I see Nez in the chat. Nez, are you drafting Deontay in like the sixth round? Like, what's the Homer alpha there?
I think the thing that's frustrating right now, and would be a case for like ripping drafts. It's like, okay, Clay, we were picking on the turn. We probably could have gotten Worthy. Who knows? Like, a bunch of rookies came off the board after him. I assume the market prefers Xavier to Keon to Ladd, etc. But like, maybe we could have gotten a better deal on him, you know, if we were in the middle of the round.
Sure.
And it's just like, I know for a fact he wasn't going to be there at 120.
No, so, no doubt. No, I'm super comfortable with that too. Again, like, I'm just trying to focus way more on structure. I liked having some good player takes last year. Kind of that easy approach. I know like Nez on some streams has talked about leaning into that a little bit more this year. I'm comfortable with that as long as my structure is good and I'm, you know, just evaluating ceiling relative to everything else. Okay, what do we want to do here? I mean, should we
fuck around
Jaden Daniels or?
Yeah, I was honestly going to say, I don't hate the idea of double tapping these two Jayden. QBs.
Meaning
I know Goff and Jayden. Daniels. Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah.
I don't see anything really jumping out to me a ton. I know we don't have a stack with Goff, but
I feel like hit Daniels real quick just so we have more time to talk about it. Yeah. Because we know we're going to take him. I don't need.
There's going to be some late, like we can get the Josh Reynolds or whatever, some dart throws late
I'm cool with that. Running back is not very compelling here to me, like unless we went Zamir White, but I don't know.
And we have so much flexibility. Yeah. Like when we have the CMC anchor, we already have Ramondre. I think we can kind of skip this little tier of running back.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
So our team here through 10 or 11 rounds, rather, Jaden Daniels and Jared Goff at quarterback, Christian McCaffrey and Ramondre at running back. We got five wide receivers, Tank Dell, Chris Olave, two rookies, Rome Odunze and Xavier Worthy, and then Josh Downs as well. And then the double elite tight end, Trey McBride and George Kittle. And then Andy here has his Josh Allen onslaught going. Let me go to the team view. Josh Allen, James Cook, Khalil Shakir, and Dalton Kincaid, and then also has the AFC East mega going here. Tua, Jalen Waddle, and then he's got Breece Hall, and then some other one-offs in Terry McLaurin, Christian Watson, and Troy Franklin.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about taking Tua there. I would have normally pushed back on a second QB taking Allen so high. But I never really take Tua, and I think he's going to have a good year. And so,
yeah,
figured might as well get crazy. But
yeah, and you can get shut out at QB. I mean,
yeah,
I
would argue it can happen kind of fast.
You definitely have some like steady Eddie guys. Like I think like Stafford, Rodgers, Kirk are interesting QB twos. But after that, man, you're in pretty big YOLO territory. Our other rookie watch. So, yeah, we took Xavier Worthy, 97. A.D. Mitchell went 101. Keon Coleman, 105. Ladd McConkey, 111. And then no other rookies have gone yet.
Yeah, I feel like there's been a break after that.
Until you get to all the first-round projected guys, I think, right? Yeah. Did Brian Thomas Jr. go?
Yeah, he was one of the earlier ones.
When did
what's his face called? The running back whose name I can never remember.
Brooks. Blake Corum or Jonathan Brooks.
Jonathan Brooks, yeah. 113.
113 first rookie. And then Blake Corum, 124. I think those are great prices. I mean,
do we have any idea what the injury timeline is for Brooks?
All I've seen is that like the updates are like bullish on his recovery. I know Hayden shared something the other day.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. I was listening to Hayden talk about it on their YouTube channel the other day as well. And I think there's like an interesting case to be made for, you know, some of these running backs who are going in the third round, not like top 10 draft capital guys or
you
know, first round guys, even where like, there's a better chance kind of going in pre-draft that they're going to go to a team who like actually needs a running back. And it's like trying to fill a spot versus just being like, oh, I'm going to take this guy because he has a really high skill ceiling or something, which I think is interesting too, but like kind of compelling to me. But it's mostly just like a pre-draft thing of like trying to like convince myself of random reasons why some of these guys are better or worse than they are.
Yeah. We got Alistrada in the chat from the eighth slot here. What is that? Al Boogie?
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
One guy who I really cannot bring myself to draft is Jerry Jeudy.
Get ready to learn Canadian, buddy. You think we're going to maybe go for, well, yeah, all the running backs kind of, we're looking now at the QP.
Yeah.
Running back gets thin real fast. I feel like after Charbonnet goes, he's like the last one where I'm like kind of still excited to draft him. And then it starts to get pretty tough.
Yeah. Yeah, Jeudy goes. I took a McLaughlin on my stream the other day. I like him. I also think Jalen Wright had a pretty good combine. I think he's a pretty interesting guy for a third running back.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't mind.
I think Herbert's completely fine as well. One thing we could do at so if we want to play the game of like Jaden Daniels to New England, you know, we have Ramondre, we could do Pop Douglas. We could also keep ripping it in with wide receivers, rookies with Xavier Leggett.
Yeah, let's go Pop, because I mean he was fun, and let's maybe like wish cast a little correlation there.
Yeah, I think it's fun to you know, we're getting loaded up on rooks. I think it's fine to take a steady Eddie guy. I could easily see him being still like the preferred target.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's enough we saw last year that he's got a chance to stick. Hopefully, you know, if he can avoid injury bug and everything, but because he was a rookie last year, right? He wasn't like a casual second year guy, or am I mistaken on that?
Who
was Pop? Was Pop Douglas a rookie last year?
He was, yeah, okay. Is he undrafted, Andy? You're the New England fan, right?
Yeah, what's supposedly?
I am, but I don't follow late draft stuff. I think he was a late
sixth round, yes, yeah. Sixth round pick. So I mean, yeah, I like it, man. Like, fuck it, it's a second year bump. Let's ride Jaden to Pop.
And Andy, you got Roman Wilson, which I think is another pretty nice flyer there.
Yeah, I to be honest, don't know very much about him, but it seems like people think he has some potential, and I feel like I just am, at least right now, kind of defaulting to rookies in these ranges, where it's like super unknown. There's a couple guys who aren't rookies that I do kind of like. Like, I'm pretty, you know, I said I don't want to draft Jerry Jeudy. I'm kind of the opposite on Marvin Mims, where it's like, can his season really possibly be weirder or worse than it was last season? Probably not. But yeah, I tend to just default to the rookies if I'm not totally sure.
How about this? Copper says, if Pop Douglas was a cryptocurrency, which would he be? I'll give a description, then maybe Andy can pinpoint an actual one. So you got, it's like an unheralded coin with strong fundamentals. You know, when like the people review it and, you know, no one's like doing like chart analysis on this one. They're just like, no, you just got to wait on this one. It's just, it's a solid thing. It's going to yield dividends down the road. Do you have a coin for this, Andy?
Oh, man. Let's see.
It's definitely not a meme coin.
Not a meme coin. All right, yeah. Not financial advice. Financial advice. I would say it's ribbon.
Okay.
That's my...
All right, there you go. Terrence likes your draft, Andy.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel pretty good about this one so far. I like how it's played out. I need to get another tight end or two, but
yeah, sorry.
I do feel like at least at this stage of drafting right now, like, you know, turns are fun, but middle of the board does seem to be like, if you're in the right room, you can snipe, which is, that's traditionally how it kind of goes. But
there's also just a little bit of, I don't know what the actual analogy is, you know, game of chicken almost with these rookies. It's like everyone still kind of wants to get a deal. But yeah, everyone knows the steam and the out. Rise is coming. And so it's kind of like, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? Because we are in the process of reestablishing this new ADP that is pretty much going to exist between now and the start of the NFL draft. So like,
right,
this is going to be open for almost 2 months, like what we're establishing right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, likely it's always a good pick.
Yeah, so structurally, Clay, we're at a 2-3-6-2. We're in really good shape structurally. I think we do probably end up with three QBs here. Obviously done at two tight ends, and I think we can just kind of get one more QB at some point, not a huge rush, and then just keep getting running backs and wide receivers.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm pretty sure guy I wanted just went off the board.
Estime?
No, I went, that was Tez Walker. No, I was going to go Tez Walker.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, Ricky Pearsall went.
A believer. Yeah, what are you thinking here? I mean, should we go? I don't know anything about Ray Davis, but I'm down to just keep.
Yeah, I would be like Ray Davis, and then like Mims just went, so someone put me out of my misery there.
God bless.
Jalen Polk, didn't he have a decent combine?
Like at this point, we might as well just like hope that one of these dudes like ends up on the Lions, like surpasses JMO or something, you know? Like,
yeah,
we don't have anyone on the Lions that we're gonna have available to draft.
All right. Let's see here. I'm trying to think. We don't really have any other stacking stuff because it's like we're playing New England, and then we don't have anything with Detroit right now. Any other guys you like here, or should we just keep ripping it in on rookies? Poke.
Let's
or,
rip it
or
in.
Baker?
Let's rip it in. Yeah, it's just way more fun at this stage. Like the uncertainty.
Yeah.
Right now, I was thinking it was more fun to be like, nah, I'm not really like Palmer. Eh. QJ, nah.
Yeah.
Zay Jones, nah. Like, I'm not taking Elijah Mitchell on a CMC team, so it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, might as well stack. Because, like, we're not going to get all these rookies available in, this kind of manner soon, as you just pointed out. So, I'm into it.
Mm.
We got a no on Ray Davis, and a Polk is nice. So, at least we hit one of those two picks.
Yeah, what's the deal with Ray Davis? Isn't he the guy that was, like, homeless for a big chunk of his life? He's got that dog in him.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll talk about it the draft night, you know. That's but yeah, if that's an athletic story I just pulled up actually. Kentucky guy.
Andy like goes it. QJ. That's one where you just have to really clutch your
you gotta trust the process, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the benching process. No.
Yeah,
God, I was so QJ pilled last year. I was like, Keenan's not going to stay healthy all year. Mike Williams too expensive. Oh, but I can get, you know, Justin Herbert's possible second wide receiver in the late rounds. Sign me up.
Here's the thing. I mean, a couple of these rookies that were clicking in the top 100 are going to be this year's QJ.
This year's QJ. You know, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing is there's going to be some Rashi Rices and Zay Flowers in there as well.
Maybe Garrett Wilson.
You got to crack a few eggs to make an omelet, fellas.
I miss that show. Pete, have you been watching The Traitors? Are you familiar with this show?
No.
It's like it's bringing the Survivor and Bravo worlds together. It's like a reality competition show, and they literally have like former castmates of like Survivor, Big Brother, Bravo shows like come together and compete. And it's like a whole there's so much game theory in it. So it's like a you know a cast of like let's say like 20 people or so, and usually like 2 to 3 are selected as the traitors, and they have to like get out all of the faithful before the faithful identify who the traitors are. And they have like a round table every night to like discuss and vote out one person that they understand if they're a traitor or a faithful.
Oh, is that Netflix?
It's Peacock, I think.
Oh, is it fun?
It's pretty. So I like when my wife started watching it originally, and this shit was like so overproduced, and it has this whole like kind of like, you know, funny Scotland kind of like, alter world kind of vibe to it. I was like, this show is so stupid. And then we started watching it when we went and visited our friends like 2 weekends ago, and I got hooked so instantly. And so yeah, I'm all the way caught up now. It's really good. Once you get into it and kind of get over the surface level part of it, it's pretty awesome. Especially if you like are a fan of Survivor, like any of the reality shows that these casts come from. Like they had Johnny Bananas and CT from the Challenge MTV days on this last season. You know, great Real Housewives stars. It's good. It's good.
Do you know what we could do, Clay? We could just get our third QB with Derek Carr stacked up with Olave. I know it's not fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's the right move. It's disgusting.
I'm trying to think. We've taken so many rookies, and then Stroud and Richardson are gone.
I'll just say this. I'm fairly, I mean, I don't think Derek Carr is finishing this season as a starting quarterback. Is my only kind of like.
It doesn't if it was matter. Like any other team but the Saints, I would agree with you. Like the Saints,
they just invested so much. I know. I feel like it's the right pick. Yeah. So I'm cool with it. I will co-sign it, but it feels disgusting.
Yeah. We could take my guy Dylan Loeb, who I take in every draft. We could grab this other rookie flyer, Jermaine Burton.
Done. Sign me up. Also, I don't mind Jalen Hyatt, dude. If they upgrade at
I kind of like Hyatt, too.
Yeah, second year bump. Like maybe they you know clear out the receiving room a little bit if you know Drake May does fall to the Giants, you know, wheels up.
Yeah.
I like it.
I haven't gotten around to this yet. We're making, we're catching up on all the Oscar noms right now with our TV time, but I do want to check out Shogun. It looks awesome.
Yeah, I've
heard really good things. Have you watched it all, Clay?
No, I have not.
Allie and I have also been watching Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Mm.
The new one. I've really enjoyed it. Yeah, I didn't really know what to expect going in, but.
Yeah,
I've really enjoyed it so far. It's been good.
Nice.
What's your favorite of the Oscar noms that you've watched, Pete?
Past Lives, man. That movie, that rocked me. I really enjoyed Oppenheimer. We got to see it in the theater over the weekend. But yeah, Past Lives.
I just said this to Stacey over the weekend. I was like, this is like top of my list for us to watch before the Oscars. That looks really good.
Yeah.
Greta Lee, she was really good in the newsroom. Not the newsroom. The morning show. The Apple TV version of the newsroom.
I'm really excited to watch the next one I want to watch. We're halfway through Maestro. I'm not really enjoying it that much. The Bradley Cooper one. Just like hyper stylized and like not much of a plot and just hasn't hooked me. I'm excited to watch Zone of Interest, though.
I've heard very good things about that.
Yeah.
It's typed in Bradley Cooper. It says Bradley Cooper will hard launch relationship with Gigi Hadid at the Oscars.
Hard launch.
Golly, man. That's funny. Did you watch The Holdovers?
I haven't got that's on the list. We watched all the trailers and then we kind of like ordered them and order we want to watch them. And I'm very excited to see that one.
Everyone's great.
What?
Which one?
Did Poor Things get nominated?
Yeah.
For Best Picture? I enjoyed that. I mean, it's fucking weird, but I liked it.
It looks weird. Yeah. But that's kind of his MO.
Yeah.
Take a nice Eddie.
Yeah. I've liked all of his stuff.
Flower Moon.
What's that, Clay?
I said I need to take a nice Eddie and watch Killers of the Flower Moon.
I don't know if Killers is an edible movie, to be honest.
I mean, any movie can be. You know, you just got to. Yeah. Elevates the experience.
Yeah,
it's more. It's really funny.
Moonshine, kind of movie.
Well, yeah, but then you're not making it past hour two at best.
yeah.
My friend's dad was supposed to be in that movie, and then they cut out the scene that he, you know, was traveled like 3 days to go film with De Niro. Just was axed on the cutting room floor.
Dude, De Niro like is stunningly good in that movie because it's just like he's been such a joke. Like for so long, not like him necessarily as a performer, but just like the roles he takes. And like he was dialed the fuck in for Killers, man. He was like, all right, I got one more in me, guys. Let's do it.
I like it. Oh yeah, he got done with like being the intern and what was the other? He was in the Fockers, right? Wasn't he in that series?
Like, yeah,
that,
yeah.
Dirty Grandpa.
Yeah, I guess I haven't watched that many of the movies. I've been mostly just banging out TV shows. Really enjoyed the new season of Fargo for anyone who
I've heard good things about
Fargo
that.
Fan. I mean, I've watched all the seasons. Some are better than others for sure, but this one was very good.
That's what happened to me. Loved the first season, and then I think it was like halfway through the second, I bailed, and now I'm like, do I start with the season I wasn't enjoying or do I just jump into the new good season?
That's crazy to me. I think the second season of Fargo is my third favorite season of TV.
It might be the third season that I bailed on. I honestly can't remember.
I would give it a chance. I think I think season two of Fargo is like a, you know, top five season of TV ever, like almost perfect. I think season one is really, really good. Three and four kind of take or leave. Yeah. And then I think season five was like back to season one level. Not, like, it'd be impossible to be season two level. But it was really good.
Dude, running back is so gross.
Let's get one. Just get one Jared Goff stack.
Yeah.
All right, Dylan Loeb.
Yeah, I've been pretty aggressive, I feel like, on running back to not have to draft them towards the end of the draft. It just gets really, really tough to do anything that feels good.
I feel like CMC gives you a pretty wide moat, though. And then pick 72 on Ramondre, so I don't feel as exposed.
Yeah.
We just need to, like, avoid, you know, if they could just run good on injuries, then it's like, oh, that's every draft, it goes without saying.
Peter, are you drafting a 99.9 RAS score Theo Johnson at all in the last round?
I haven't yet. I've done it a couple times. I don't think it's not insane. I mean, why not? 20 rounds. And if you're just like, yes, it is like hard to find upside at tight end late. I mean, look at these names. Like,
yeah,
you're not going
to
be able
to play on you, but Noah Gray is maybe interesting to me.
I think about Clay's like just complete
1 year too early
on Noah Gray so often. It's so funny to me. Like, this guy was so entrenched in your brand, and then you forgot to figure out which school he went to.
No, it's just you had to switch up the bit, man. You can't let the bits get old. So, had to do a hard pivot. You know, I'm workshopping a few for the season. So, on the real though, I mean, I still do love the strategy of drafting. Like, if you're waiting on tight end, which I don't know if that's what you should be doing this year, because I mean, I kind of like the vibe of going, you know, early to mid, because I think they are priced way better this year than they were relative to last year, but. If you stacked up on like Gray and Likely and you know, a couple, like, I don't know, maybe put a Musgrave in there or something, like, that's a fun tight end room. And I feel like, I don't know, between Gray and Likely, like, I would place my chips on like one of those guys maybe takes over and really, you know, just has a way more of a target share this year. So I think I was just 1 year too early on my backup tight end alphabet.
I would just prefer, if I'm going to make that play, I mean, I'm very sold on the Likely. I just want like a little bit more juice. Like, I'd even be down to do it more with like a Darnell Washington and be like, you know, if Freiermuth gets hurt, you have like a legit athlete who could do stuff. Mm-hmm. Where like Gray is definitely like, if he got opportunity, you're playing with Patrick Mahomes, sure, but he hasn't proven to be someone that can like bring a ton to the table on his own.
I'll tell you who's interesting to me is Brevin Jordan.
Yeah,
it's like Schultz is like kind of like getting older, right? Like, he's, I mean, maybe he's not.
And Brevin
like,
is
he just signed a deal? What, today?
Today, yeah.
Schultz did? No.
Yeah.
Ah, but like, okay, none of these players, any tight end you take in 19 or 20 is like either they're the most uninspiring starter of all time, or they're blocked in some regard. So might as well find a guy who has some juice.
Brevin's, what do you think about Hayden Hurst?
I saw he got released.
Today. Yeah, and he was fully guaranteed. So stupid.
Yeah, like, I feel like he's not dust. He's not that old, is he?
No, he's. I mean, he was fine. Like, when they gave him some snaps, like, you know, after fucking Tommy Tremble and shit last year. But
yeah, he's one of those guys where I just totally discount like everyone in that offense as far as are they good or not. And so it's like, I don't know, maybe get signed somewhere else. And,
Pete, what are we thinking for? I feel like I gotta go like one more running back.
Yeah, one more running back for sure.
Is a guy with a fun name. I don't know if you
heard
one or not.
This is like absolutely disgusting.
You see a Bucky Irving on here? I think his real name
is Marquise. Long gone.
Long gone.
He's long gone. Yeah. Yeah, Bucky Irving might pick 165 in the 14th round.
Oh Jesus. Missed that. Yeah. The ghost of Tank Bigsby.
Yeah, or even like Deuce Vaughn. I mean, I know he like weighs less than.
I mean, Dalvin Cook is the Zeke this year. I like, that is kind of funny. Like, he's so old.
No, Addison's let's do a gone. Rookie or like.
Yeah, no, I like it. Frank Gore Jr. for the vibes.
Sure.
No, I don't even know.
People were wondering if he was even going to get drafted.
Yeah, then let's not do that. What are these guys will get drafted? I don't know any of these names. Like Ali, no idea.
No, I'm out.
Cody Schrader sounds white, and we already drafted a white running back, so I don't know if we can have two on the same team.
What about Rashad Penny?
I don't know. Did Amari DeMarcado, like he flashed a little bit or no? Nah. Fucking hell.
I like Deuce. Like, I think Deuce could definitely have some spike weeks.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right. Let's go. Just brought down the average height on our team by about a foot and a half, but yeah.
That's right. Well, you know, we combined. Dude, this is Team Short King. Tank Dell, Xavier Worthy. It's not even what's the we need the equivalent for doesn't weigh a lot. You know, we got our Light King.
Doesn't measure well.
Light King Summer. I think that might be it.
David's just rated this team a 10 out of 10. So
yeah. No one can fall for this trick. The most athletic running back of all time, Guarendo, is not in the player pool. Did you, Andy, hear my idea? My crypto/best ball idea to fork the big board contest and put Guarendo in a version of it.
Oh, that's smart. I like that.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to recap, Clay and I's team, and then Andy will recap his and we'll get out of here. Three QBs, Jaden Daniels, Jared Goff, Derek Carr, Jaden Daniels to balance out the, supreme unsexiness of Goff and Carr, anchor CMC from the 101 with Ramondre Stevenson, a bevy of rookies, Jalen Wright, Ray Davis, my new guy, Dylan Loeb, and the pint size squeak Deuce Vaughn himself. Wide receivers, a bunch of light kings, Tank Dell, Chris Olave, one grown ass man, Rome Adunze, Josh Downs, Xavier Worthy, DeMario, the crypto coin Ribbon Douglas, Jalen Polk, another light king, Jalen Hyatt. Holy cow, this entire team weighs less than 1,000 pounds cumulatively. Josh Reynolds, because you got to stack that bitch up here in early March. And then double elite tight end Trey McBride and George Kittle. Andy,
can you eat three meals team?
All right, yeah, I went with AFC East heavy, so Josh Allen and Tua, and then Breece, James Cook, Chuba Hubbard, Khalil Herbert, Miles Sanders, and Israel, not gonna say his last name because I can't. What with the multiple two running backs on the same team, hoping a couple of those guys end up in other places. Then Jalen Waddle, Scary Terry, Christian Watson, praying for a bounce back year for both of those. All three of those guys. Troy Franklin, Shakir, Roman Wilson, Quentin Johnson. This is a bounce back year team for the guys who aren't rookies. Jalen McMillan and Alec Pierce. And then Kincaid, Waller, and Dawson Knox. So really heavy on Buffalo. But yeah, now that I look at it, my wide receivers really all sucked last year.
Andy drafted the bear market of wide receivers.
Yeah, I'm buying the dip.
Yeah. Bro, you bought the motherfucking dip on
this. All right.
Miles, Andy has the grossest yet somehow most fun wide receiver.
Here's the deal with any of your last three round picks. They basically fall into these three buckets. You're either praying that this rookie who you don't know who they are is good. You're either praying that these old guys just have one last hurrah in them, or you're praying that the guy who was absolutely awful last year somehow is good again by a miracle of God this year. Like, those are the three things you pray for with those last picks.
Yo, if Adam Thielen can do it, gosh darn it, anyone can do it. So
yeah. All right, appreciate you guys hanging out. If you want more drafting, I believe I'm going to be drafting with the Badge Bros tomorrow on Off and On the Clock at 2 p.m. Eastern over on the Badge Bros channel. Andy, Clay, anything else you guys got going on here?
Not too much. I think anyone who is in the crypto world and has tried out IKB, we think are going to launch some NBA salary cap games either later this week or next week. So that should be fun. They will be zero rake games. So keep 100% of the money you play with. Otherwise, shit posting and doing drafts, experimenting with auto drafting some big board best ball teams.
I'm excited to hear about that experiment and see what some of the teams have looked like. Have you been adjusting your ranks between drafts?
Yeah, a little bit. I have really strict. So kind of my theory is that I've been very influenced by Sacrilegious, whomst among us has not. And so I have really, really strict limits positionally. I'm essentially trying to always build a 2-3 or a 2-6-9-3. And I'm pretty high on quarterback, like I was saying. So I'm drafting a lot of early quarterbacks. And then I'm high on rookies. So I'm ending up with a lot of rookies. That's kind of like the really quick version of what it's been. I'll have to maybe next week for the club, we can go through and I'll mark a couple of teams that came out fun or really bad. Cause I'm sure there are a couple, but yeah, kind of my idea is like, there's so little information that there has to be like a decent chance that you can kind of luck box your way into a team. And also I just do not have the time to draft 150 of these teams, but I enjoy having the sweat of doing these things and am fortunately able to do them. And so might as well try.
Consigliere wants to know, Andy, are there any tutorials for IKB wallet setup?
That is a great question. No, I will make one and post one on Twitter or something in the next couple of days. That's a good one.
There you go.
We're working to get a payment processor that isn't a crypto, like you have to have crypto already, relatively soon, which will help.
Nice. All right, guys, appreciate you hanging out. Thanks to Clay and Andy. I'm Pete. We'll see you guys next time on the club. Have a great rest of your Tuesday evening.